We've been talking about faith for a while. Last week we began to talk about some examples of those who lived by faith. We began with a man named Elijah. God spoke to Elijah and told him to go tell Ahab it wasn't going to rain. He said, "It's not going to rain until I say so." Not even a dew. Ahab was king of Israel, and we know that the Bible tells us that he did more evil than any king before him. He was an evil king. He married a woman named Jezebel, and we've heard that name a few times. And he worshipped Baal, built an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. After Elijah gave this message to Ahab, God told Elijah to go down by the brook Cherith. He could drink from the brook, and God said, "I'll send the ravens to feed you." Remember, we talked about the ravens. They're vultures. So today it would be like God telling you to go down by the creek and sit there and drink from the creek, and I'll send the buzzards to feed you. Sounds real interesting, don't it? But you see, Elijah had enough faith in God to believe God was going to take care of him. And Elijah did exactly what God told him to do. He went down to the brook. He drank from the brook. The ravens fed him. And when the brook dried up, God said, "Okay, you need to go to Zarephath. And when you get to Zarephath, you'll find a widow woman, and she will feed you." So he got up and went to Zarephath. When he got there, he met this widow woman. She was out, the Bible says, gathering sticks. And so he asked her to bring him a drink of water. And so she started to go get him some water. And he said, "By the way, bring me something to eat too." And then she explained to him her situation. She said, "I'm actually out gathering sticks now to be able to prepare the last meal for my son and myself. Got just enough meal in the barrel and just enough oil to prepare enough food for my son and myself. We're going to eat our last meal and then we'll die of starvation." And Elijah said, "Well, fix me something first." And God will never allow the meal to run out and never allow the oil to run out. This widow woman from Zarephath had enough faith to believe that that was true. She went and prepared Elijah something to eat and brought it to him. She went back and fixed for her and her son. And the Bible says the meal never ran out and neither did the oil. Because God promised that, and God's promises are true. And you know, we can still trust Him. He still does exactly what He says He will do. A lot of times, it's like we think, "Well, He did all those things back then, but He don't do that anymore." You know, He don't take care of us like He did them. Well, the fact of the matter is, He don't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes, and so we can, in fact, trust Him to do what He says He'll do. This morning, we're going to pick up in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 17. We're still at the widow woman's house, and we'll see where this widow woman's son died. He got sick, and he died in 1 Kings chapter 17. Beginning in verse 17, it says, "And it came to pass after these things," that was after the vultures, the ravens feeding Elijah by the brook, and then Elijah came to the Zarephath, to the widow woman's house, and then after that, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore there was no breath left in him. In other words, he was dead. This widow woman's son was dead. And so she was naturally shaken, as any of us would be. I've said many times that the hardest thing in this life to go through has got to be outliving one of your children or grandchildren. That's not what we expect in the natural chain of events. And it's a very tough thing to do. I was at a funeral on Friday of a young man who passed away, and watched his mother grieve and his dad. And it's just a hard thing to do. I've been involved in a lot of funerals. I've preached a lot of funerals of a son or daughter or a grandchild. One of the hardest funerals I ever preached was 2 14-year-old boys. They were first cousins who drowned together in a swimming pool. Their mothers were sisters, and the hardest I ever did. And my grandson, one grandson, was born within a week of those two. I held both of those babies the night they were born, and had held one of the little boys. I'm sorry, a little boy and a little girl. But I held the little boy the week before they died at church. And so I knew these babies. They were like mine. It was a hard thing to do. Although we know that those babies they're good. They're cared for. They'll never suffer. What they miss out on is all the problems that we experience in this life. It's hard for us to get past our selfishness and see what they are enjoying. But it's a difficult thing to do when we see our children and our grandchildren go. But this woman's son got sick and then died. She was so shaken and questioning what has happened. Is it because of her sin? You know, why did this happen to her son? Even when we have faith, there are times that we question things because we don't understand God. Because God is way above us. We can't understand why he does the way he does a lot of times. Many times in the future we can look back and see why something happened. We can see the good that it brought. It can see what it did for us in maybe turning us around. But at the moment it's hard to see those things. And so this widow woman is obviously shaken, and she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Are you come to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" What's going on? So she had questions. She didn't understand why her son had died. There are a lot of things in this life that we don't understand. But we need to understand that God is still bigger than all those things. And God's not going to leave us. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you to the end of the world." And he will help us through those situations. He don't remove all the obstacles of life. If he did, we would be spiritual weaklings. We need to experience some difficulties to be able to have our faith strengthened. And so here she's struggling. Elijah takes the son from the mother, and he took him up into the loft where he had been staying, and he began to pray. Elijah, the man of God, began to pray. He crying to the Lord. He said, Elijah said to her, "Give me thy son." And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into the loft where he abode and laid him on his own bed. And he cried to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son. And he stretched himself on the bed three times and cried to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. Elijah prayed. He struggled. He was in agony because he was hurt as well because of this death. And so he went up and he began to pray and call out to God. God, spare this woman's son. God, bring life back into this woman's son. Restore his life to him. And God did exactly what Elijah asked for. God restored his life. He brought life back into him. Some people say, well, he was just sick. He probably fainted. No, he died. And God restored his life. Too many times we try to explain away what God does. It's like many times I've heard people try to explain away the miracles of the crossing of the Jordan and the Red Sea. And they say, you know, the water was only ankle deep. And, you know, well, that's good. He drowned armies of people in ankle deep water. That's pretty miraculous, isn't it? You know, you can't explain God away. And so, you know, we should stop trying to explain God away. Instead of trying to explain God away, we need to give credit to God for what he does. Now we do it a different way, you know. We get sick and we're really sick. We've got a diagnosis from doctors. The doctors have given us prognosis. And, you know, this is something there's no help. You're going to die. You know, there's nothing we can do. Nothing can be done. And so we pray. And we call on God and we ask God for a miraculous healing. And many times God answers that prayer and he heals. And how many times have you heard a person who has experienced this miracle of healing say, I'm telling you, I can't say enough good about Dr. So-and-so. You know, I went to him and he gave me some medicine and removed my cancer, took it away, or whatever the case might be. You know, the doctor said that I had this terrible disease, terminal. But they gave me some good medicine, you know. Or another way of explaining it away is, I can't believe all those scans and x-rays and all showed that big mass in there, and it wasn't there. Instead of saying, I am so thankful that that big mass that was in me that showed up on all those scans and all those x-rays and all, but God removed it and he healed me completely. But we like to try to explain it away instead of giving God credit. Well, this boy didn't just get sick. He didn't just faint. He died. There was no breath left in him. He died, and God restored his life to him. And so, this woman then knew that Elijah was a man of God. He knew that she knew Elijah had a close relationship with God. He had called on God, and God had answered his prayer, restored her son's life. Elijah demonstrated his faith in God in another difficult situation. People are watching you today as a professing Christian, and they're watching to see how you react when you face those difficult situations in life. What do you do when you face a trial in life? You say, God's got this. We're going to pray and God's going to take care of it. You know? That don't mean we can't grieve, but we can trust God to help us get through that situation. We can recognize that God has promised that he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. He's going to be with us to the end of the world. And when we're just going to trust God to get us through another trial, and we're going to come out on the other side. Or we can just fall apart completely. And we can say, oh Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know? I don't know where to turn. Don't you? If you're a believer, don't you know that the first place you need to turn is to the one who's able to take care of your situation? Where you need to turn is you need to turn to God and pour your heart out to Him. But so many times I've heard that statement, I don't know where to turn. Well, if you know the God that I know, then you should know that the first place you need to turn is to God and allow Him to help you through that situation. Elijah proved himself at this point by calling out to God when the problem arose. He called out to God, and she knew, hey, he is definitely a man of God, because he knew where to go to when my son died. And he went to God and called on God, and God restored my son's life. And so, we see again, as I've mentioned many, many times over, actions speak louder than words. You know, not so much what you say, but yet it is what you say, because your actions say the truth about you. The things you do show the truth about where your heart is. And so your actions is actually what's speaking for you, and it speaks louder than the words that you're saying out of your mouth. It's been said, your actions speak so loud I can't hear what you're saying. Make sure that you're living the life that you're professing to live. And so, we see where God intervened again. We see that a man of faith, Elijah, called out to God, and God answered his prayer. And now we see that Elijah continues. We're going to see God do a lot more things through Elijah, but the next is where Elijah challenges Ahab. Remember who Ahab was? He was the king of Israel. The most evil. He had done more evil than any of the kings before him. And so in chapter 18, beginning verse 1, it picks up there. It says, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab. And I need to back up. No, I don't. I'm in the right place. That I'll send rain upon the earth. Okay. And Elijah went to show himself to Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. It was dry in Samaria. Elijah tells Ahab that it's not going to rain. But he challenged Ahab. I'm sorry that prophecy of the drought was back in the first verse of chapter 17, and it still hadn't rained. So we're going through this. Sorry, my mind fell off there for a minute. And so here Elijah is called upon to challenge Ahab. And so he goes to Ahab, and he tells him there that it's going to rain later. So Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. There was a sore famine in Samaria, And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. And now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Here, as Elijah is going to tell Ahab, Ahab has been looking for Elijah and not being able to find him. Ahab has hunted all over. He's had people searching for Elijah, and they've not been able to find him. They've sent everywhere looking for Elijah, not been able to find him, because he told Ahab back over in the first of chapter 17 that it would not rain or there wouldn't be a dew until he said so. And so Ahab's been looking for him. He's been trying to find him. He's sent after him and can't find him. And so now Elijah goes and he meets up with Obadiah, who is the governor of Ahab's house. And he met him and told him, he said, "I'm looking for Ahab. So go tell Ahab that I need to see him." And Obadiah, who was, by the way, a man of faith, because when Jezebel had tried to destroy all the Christians, Obadiah had hid 100 of them in a cave, and he had fed them and given them water to spare them, spare their lives. And so Obadiah had trusted God to do those things, and taking a chance on losing his life, because if Jezebel found out that he had hid those 100 of God's prophets and been feeding and watering them, then Ahab would have had Obadiah killed. And so Elijah came to Obadiah, and he said, "I need you to go tell Ahab that I'm here. I need to speak to him." And Obadiah said, "If I go tell Ahab that you're here, then something will happen. You'll be gone before Ahab gets here. And then Ahab's going to take my life, because Ahab has looked everywhere for you. He has sent people everywhere to every country looking for you, and no one's been able to find you." And so Elijah promised Obadiah, "No, I'll be right here. You go tell Ahab that I'm here, and I will be here when he gets here." And so Obadiah came, and Ahab came, and Elijah talked to him, and he told Ahab that he challenged Ahab to gather all his people together and offer sacrifice. We're going to see whose God is real. And so he said, when they met, starting in verse 17 of chapter 18, "It came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, and Ahab said to him, 'Art thou he that troubleth Israel?' And he answered, 'I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and your father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam.'" Now, when we forsake God's commandments, we're bringing trouble. We're causing trouble. We're bringing trouble on ourselves and those around us. And so Elijah said, "Now, send and gather me all Israel to Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." And so Ahab sent to all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together, and Elijah came to the people. He challenged Ahab, and then he challenged the children of Israel. There in verse 21, it says, "He came to all the people and said, 'How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him.' And the people answered him not a word. It's time today for people to choose who they're going to serve. Joshua said it this way. He said, you can decide, you can follow, worship the gods that were on the other side that your fathers worshiped, or you can decide to follow God, the Creator. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's the choice that we all need to make. Matter of fact, we have made that. Each one of us has made that choice today. We have chosen who we're going to serve. We're either going to serve God or we're going to serve ourselves. That's the choice. We're either going to heaven or we're going to hell. That's the only two choices that we have. And so Elijah challenged the people. He said, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people did not answer him. It's time today. That's a challenge for all of us, you know. Why do you keep playing with this decision? It's time to make a decision and commit to it. Because if you've not committed to Jesus Christ, if you've not committed to follow Him, if you've not committed to trust Him as your Savior and allow Him to become Lord of your life, then the fact of the matter is, you have chosen to leave this world and spend eternity in a place called hell. That's your choice right now, if you've not chosen Jesus, because that's the only two choices. So why do you keep playing with that decision? He says, it's time to choose who you're going to serve. In this particular case, we have Ahab who is serving Baal, and it's all these people that are following him and leading them to follow to worship Baal. And so Elijah says, okay, then you need to prepare sacrifice. You get two bullocks. And you prepare one for sacrifice, and then I'll prepare the other one for sacrifice. And he said, because there are so many of y'all, y'all go ahead and prepare yours. Get ready for your sacrifice, and you get your bullock, and you get it prepared for the sacrifice, and then I will prepare sacrifice. And we're going to pray and call on our gods. And the one that answers with fire, that's the God that we're going to serve. Okay. And so, the prophets of Baal, they gather and they get their bullock and they get it all prepared. And Elijah told them exactly how to prepare that in verse 22 through 25 there. And so, they prepare it. And then in verse 26 says, and they took the bullock, which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even to noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. There was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped on the altar, which was made, and it came to pass at noon, Elijah mocked them and said, cry loud, for he is a God. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey, or peradventure he's sleeping and needs to be woken. And so these prophets of Baal have prepared their sacrifice, and they start calling out for their God Baal to answer. And they call and nothing happens. They're doing all kinds of things. They're jumping around and doing anything to try to get Baal's attention, to get him to send fire. And Elijah comes in and he says, oh, hey, y'all gotta holler louder, man. He probably hard to hear. He just can't hear you. Or maybe he's on a journey and he don't have time right now. He may be asleep. Maybe you gotta wake him up. Call out louder. And so these prophets of Baal, they call out loud, or they begin to cut themselves, and blood's just going everywhere. And they're calling out, they're yelling, but nothing's happening except they're killing themselves because this so-called God, Baal, is not going to answer. You see, all these people are worshiping now these little statues that, you know, they put on a mantle somewhere, some piece of wood. They worship that. That's the God they serve. That piece of wood can't do nothing. Well, even if it's built out of stone, it can't do anything. But the one that made the stone and made the wood, he's the one that can do something. And he's the one we need to be serving. And so these prophets of Baal, they kept calling out and calling out and calling out. But nothing happened. And they called all day until the evening. Nothing's happened. Baal has not answered. Baal has not heard them, because Baal is not a real God. Okay? And so Elijah finally says, okay, you know, enough's enough. Y'all gonna kill yourselves, but you ain't gonna get no answer from Baal. And so, beginning in verse 30, you see where Elijah begins to prepare. And Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. All the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. He took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. He dug a trench around the altar so great that it would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And so 3 times they got barrels of water and poured on the sacrifice, saturating the wood and filling the trench that had been dug around the altar. And then Elijah prayed. Pretty simple, straightforward prayer. In verse 36 and 37, we see that prayer. It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word, that I'm not just doing something to build a name, but you've taught me to do what I've done. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. What a coincidence. You know, all that water just all of a sudden just evaporated and soaked into the ground, right? You know, and all those rocks just kind of disappeared. Because the fire of the Lord burnt them up. And you can't explain that away. There's no reason to try, because God answered. Seems maybe like a ridiculous prayer. God, now, I got all this sacrifice here, and just to prove that you're God, I'm going to saturate it all with water so it won't light. I don't have any matches. That was, by the way, part of the initial instruction that they couldn't use any fires, what he told Ahab and the prophets of Baal. Can't put any fire there. You got to call on your God, and your God's put fire there. And when he called on God, God brought the fire. Do you know God's still able to bring the fire today? He's able to answer your prayers today. Whatever your circumstance and your situation, no matter how difficult it may be, it's not too hard for God. Nothing is too hard for God. And so the question is, where's our faith? Now, God answered with fire, and the people recognized that. In verse 39, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." And Elijah said to them, "Take the prophets of Baal. Don't let any escape." He took them down to the brook Kishon, and they were all slain there at the brook Kishon. So not only did the prophets of Baal not get an answer from Baal of fire, not only did Baal not answer with fire, but they lost their lives. Now, they probably got the fire eventually. They will get the fire eventually if they haven't gotten it. But that's what's going to happen to those who choose other gods. There are plenty of them out there. You know, a lot of us worship all kind of things. We worship our boat. We worship our guns. We worship the beach. We worship, some of us worship ourselves. You know, we worship our houses. We worship all kinds of things. We worship instead of worshiping God. You know. But God's the only one that can help us. And God will help us. He wants to help us. But we've got to worship Him. We've got to let Him be number one. And so, here, we see that they lost their lives. And they didn't see the fire on the sacrifice. They saw it. And we'll spend eternity in the fire. That is what will happen to those who choose to reject God and worship their gods, whatever that God may be. If it's not the true and living God, the Creator, the one who created us, created everything that is, we can worship Him. We can serve Him. He will, in fact, do everything that He has promised us that He would do. He'll never leave you. He'll not forsake you. He'll be there for you always. You can call on Him anytime. And He answers prayer. Now, He don't always give you what you want. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is wait. And sometimes the answer is yes now. God always answers our prayers in one way or another. But God knows what's best. There have been a lot of times when I've prayed for things that God did not answer at that time, or His answer was no. And later down the road, I said, "Thank you, Lord. I'm so glad that You said no. Because now I know why You said no." Now, there are a lot of times we don't get that answer. But there are a lot of times when we do get that answer. If we stay focused on Him, keep your faith in Him, trust Him. I'm telling you, people are missing out on so many blessings because they won't put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He wants to bless us. That's His desire. He died for us. And He don't want to bless us? What world are you from? If He did that for us, and He don't want us to be blessed here on earth and spend eternity with Him in heaven, I'm sorry, I don't know what kind of mind you're thinking. But it don't make sense. It makes perfect sense to me that He died to pay for my sins and to give me the gift of eternal life and to give me a full and meaningful life here and now, that He wants to bless me now, but He wants me to trust Him. He wants me to obey Him so that He can bless me. A lot like we are with our children, you know. We want to bless them. We kind of want them to obey us, you know, follow our rules so that we can bless them. And many times they refuse to follow the rules and we're not allowed to bless them like we want to. The difference is God has no limitations. We as humans are limited on what we can do for our children, how we can bless our children. God has no limitations. He can bless. And He blesses. He's the best blesser there is. So if you want some real good blessings, trust Jesus Christ. Trust God with your life. We need to practice some of what we're seeing demonstrated. What the Bible tells us we must do. We walk by faith, not by sight. Without faith, it is impossible. He didn't say it's hard. He said without faith, it is impossible to please God. Where's our faith? Who is our faith in? God or self? Father, we love You. Thank You. Thank You so much. God, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the faithfulness of Your Word. God, I thank You that it's absolutely true. Lord, that we can trust You. And I thank You that You prove Yourself over and over and over and over again in our lives when we put our faith in You, when we trust You. God, I thank You for the way You've blessed me and continue. Lord, I don't deserve the blessings that You pour out on me, but I thank You. I thank You that You love us. Thank You that it's Your desire to bless us. God, help us to be more faithful. Help us, Lord, to be more obedient, to do what You've called us to do. Lord, to allow Your will to be done and not ours. Father, even as Jesus, when He was about to go to the cross to give His life, and He prayed and He agonized in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. If it be Your will, if it's Your will, Lord, to provide for the salvation of mankind some other way, then by all means, please do it. But nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. God, help us to learn from the One who died for us and rose again. When we pray, Lord, to pray for Your will and not ours. Father, there are people here today that are struggling with a decision or which way we're going to go. Lord, I pray that You would touch that person today. Holy Spirit, speak to that person. Help them to know that You are here, that You will help them, but they got to let You. They got to invite You to. They got to trust You. Help us to trust You today. In Jesus' name and for His sake we pray. Amen. Stand with me for a moment while the music plays. If you're here and you've been struggling with a choice, whether it be deciding who you're going to serve, whether you're going to accept Jesus or do it your own way. Or it might be that you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, But there's something He's calling you to do, and you've just not been able to turn loose and go do it. You're struggling because you're depending on your ability and not God's ability. And you need to step out on faith and do what God wants you to do. Whatever the need, God's here. He wants to meet your need. He wants to bless you. Indecision. There's something you need prayer about, something you need to be prayed for. Slip out. I'll be glad to pray with you. You don't need to confess anything to me. I'll pray with you. Share scripture with you. I'll help you any way I can. I can't make the choice. That's yours to make. Anyone quickly before we close? Anyone?